Well, it will be Chris McCarthy. He's going to be broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts on Route 18 in New Bedford coming up in just a little bit. But we will take your phone calls at 508-996-0500. Chris is going to be able to take your calls throughout the show, but he's also going to have a whole bunch of different guests coming into Honeydew Donuts, as he does each time he's out there on the road. And I don't know. I mean, Chris and I have talked about it. He loves being out there with the people. He loves being out there and having people come up and talk. He really loves it when you come up to him and tell him how great he is and how great his show is. So that's his favorite part. So if you want to give him a nice little Christmas gift, go over there and tell him just how great he is and how great South Coast Now is. But he also likes the idea that, you know, you can really gauge what the audience is into and what they're interested in talking about. And I'm sure he's got a whole bunch of stuff on the table today. So he's going to be talking about all that with you coming up in just a few moments. The other part of being there, of course, at Honeydew Donuts is all of the great food that they have at Honeydew. The coffee, the donuts, the sandwiches, for me, you know, when I walk in there, I can't have the same stuff that I used to have. But when I walk into Honeydew Donuts, it feels like a treat. I was just in the one at the North End last weekend. And I said, you know what? I think I am going to treat myself to a little bit of a sweeter coffee. And I got the s'mores coffee. One of my absolute favorites. So, and for some reason, I like to get the raspberry stick or the cinnamon stick. It's a throwback. It's a throwback to a time when, you know, I was a big Mr. Donut guy as a kid. And it reminds me of those days. You know, the fresh baked stuff, you could smell it cooking. Smell it baking in the oven. So you can get over there and experience that for yourself at the Honeydew Donuts on Route 18 in New Bedford with Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now coming up. So we will take, let me see here, because he's got somebody on the phone. I don't know if this is a guest that's planned for Chris or if it's somebody that's just calling in. So let's see. Good morning. You're on WBSM. Okay. Well, I guess they were waiting for Chris. I'm not offended.
Hello.
Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I heard two dings.
Well, now you're hearing a big ding-a-ling because I'm on the phone, so.
Hey, so listen, I wanted to know what your schedule is going to be from here on out for Christmas. Are you going to be on next week?
So next week we are going to be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we'll be here Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday we'll have syndicated programming until 6 p.m., and then at 6 p.m., it's going to switch over to Christmas music, commercial free, from 6 p.m. Christmas Eve until noontime on Christmas Day. And then it'll go back into the syndicated programming. And then Friday will be syndicated programming. And then next week, we're going to have New Year's Eve off, New Year's Day, and the day after New Year's.
And it's going to be what? Syndicated?
Syndicated programming those days, too. Yep.
So you got 3 days off next week. Wow.
This week, next week and the week after, yeah. Well, because the office is closed. So nobody's going to be here. And if you're here and people hear that you're in the studio, they come down to the studio because they're like, oh, I got to go down there and do this. And then they ring the bell and, you know, it turns into a whole thing. So when the boss said he's closing the office.
Anyway.
Oh, I know.
You need to rest up.
I know. But I'm just explaining for the people that are saying, oh, you guys taking 3 days off? Come on. It's really, you know, well-earned, I think, for everybody here.
Oh, so listen, it's going to be Siberian music, the one orchestra?
No, it's a whole different mix of stuff. So Nancy Hall from Fun 107 put it all together for us. So she
nice.
Programs all the Christmas music for Fun 107, so she did it for us, too.
Oh, good. Another question. You know, I heard that that guy at... After Charlie Kirk is going to get 2 hours now or 3 hours.
Is that his name? Scott Jennings?
Scott Jennings. Yeah. How many hours is he going to get now?
I don't know. I haven't seen any paperwork on that. In fact, to be honest with you, I didn't even know we were carrying Scott Jennings because I never got any documentation from the network that he was taking over that last hour. So they were sending me, you know, I have to fill out paperwork, and I had to fill out paperwork for that. And I was like, we don't carry that show. And they're like, yes, you do. It's like, no, we don't. Like, no. Yes, you do. It's the last hour. And I was I had no idea.
Kirk is staying, but it's the same. So he's only picking up. And I think he's picking up another hour. But he must be taking... the hour from that gun show.
No, that's not, that'll still be on in the morning.
Well, I don't know how they're squeezing him in. I don't know who he's taking.
I don't know. It doesn't mean we'll carry it because if they're adding it, it doesn't mean we'll necessarily change our schedule because we've already got other stuff scheduled.
Oh, he might be doing this during the day.
Yeah, so those are all rebroadcasts from earlier in the day. Those aren't live shows. I think Levin might be live. I'm not sure, but the other ones are not live. They're just rebroadcasts.
So you're just waiting for Chris to show up now?
They're ready to go. As soon as you and I are done speaking, I'm going to take a break and we'll turn it over to Chris.
All right. I wanted to just make one comment. Oh, I can't believe that Trump's trying to get it, putting his name on the Kennedy Center. How ignorant.
And not only putting his name on it, but also making sure his name goes first.
And, oh, I know it. And you know what? I can't stand it already. What else? It's only been, what, we got 3 more years? What else is his name going to be on now?
Well, did you see the plaques? Oh, did you see the plaques that he put up on the Wall of Fame for the presidents? And he went and put, it's basically reads like a Truth Social post he wrote about everybody. It's embarrassing.
That is horrible. I mean, what the hell's wrong with him?
We don't have enough time. If it would take more than Chris's entire show for me to explain that.
All right. Have a nice weekend. I'll talk to you Monday.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, I am going to take a break here. When we come back, Chris McCarthy will have you live from the Route 18 Honeydew Donuts. Stick around. It'll be South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy in just a few moments.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Well, good morning. It's a little raining out there, but it's really warm. Thank God this isn't snow, right? We're broadcasting live this morning from the Route 18 Conway Street Honeydew Donuts. Come on down. I'll be here till noontime. We've got Matt, the producer, with us. We've got a whole bunch of guests coming through. Obviously, the big story, and I had no idea they were going to catch the guy or the guy was going to put himself down, which is really what happened. So we'll touch on that later in the morning, but I obviously want to focus on local issues. Another foreigner with a firearm, right? We'll deal with that later. Think about that, though. The guy was roaming around the country for a couple of decades. Nobody knew. It's why Trump is ending all those programs and trying to tighten them up before more Americans are killed, right? But we're now joined by my good friend, Barry Sylvia. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, audience.
Barry, you attended the public meeting for the sewage treatment plant. We've been talking about that now for a couple of years, actually maybe a couple of decades as well. Talk about that meeting and what the takeaways were, what you learned at that meeting about the sewage treatment plant.
So, Chris, what I'd like your audience, I'd like to at least give them 3 takeaways. The first takeaway is we'd like to convey the important points that led up to a lot of what's being publicized now. It just so happens that, in a parallel path that the city has to have these meetings for public input. And what I mean by that is in order for them to comply with the updated plans that the federal government is requiring them to do, they have to have these public meetings. That's the second takeaway that I want to be able to talk to your audience about. And then the third takeaway is I'd like to be able to provide your audience some contact information for residents to air their own concerns and their own experiences about the odors, and report on any unexplained serious illnesses that we are all experiencing, and maybe even talk amongst themselves. It's a difficult conversation to have, Chris, but cancer. We have on my street alone, we have 5 people. So I want to be able to provide contact information for the residents and how they can air that out. But first, Chris, I'd like to start with your own experience of how you first came into that smell.
Yeah, well, I went down. I was with you and your beautiful wife, Stephanie. We were down at your house in the South End, and I was like almost blinded by this odor. And to me, it smelled like feces. I don't know. Where else would it be coming from, right? We were told that it was rotting seaweed.
Rotting seaweed.
Well, that's what you were told.
How did it make you feel, like, physically?
I mean, it was hard to exist on the South End.
Nauseating.
Yeah,
nauseating. Yeah. When we got to the house.
I said, let's get out of here.
Yeah, you said, let's get out of here.
Right.
And we had to lock ourselves in the house,
yep.
Close the house up, put the air conditioning on.
Yep.
And many of our... So initially, we had, through the city council...
I couldn't live with that smell.
No.
Right.
Try it.
I couldn't. Yeah.
When the wind's out of the South End, it moves right through your house. But we were lucky enough to have Ryan Pereira, Ian Abreu, city councilors, and Representative Tony Cabral... to be able to listen to us. So we first, the residents, we were heard at city council in appointments and briefings. I think it was headed by Ian. And the neighbor, we all came out and talked about the smell, how we get shuttered inside our houses.
What year was that, Barry?
2024.
Yeah.
24?
Okay. Yeah, 24, exactly. So a while ago. And it's funny because... it's not really funny. This is a serious thing, and please, let me retract that. No, there's nothing funny about this. There's nothing funny about women in my neighborhood. The women that we trust to take care of our houses, that work hard, keep good homes, that they're responsible for this odor and this smell. They're responsible to get rid of it out of our clothing, the bed linens. I can't even tell you how my wife has to clean if we get caught with our windows open and not have the air conditioning running. But I think that the women and their testimony, and I'm hoping that they will call in, Chris, they're going to be our most powerful tool. But let me tell you about the second powerful tool that we have. We have some politicians that are elected officials that are willing to step up and say, hey, we have a problem. So Tony Cabral organized a meeting with the Department of Environmental Protection, and the DEP was down there with Tony, myself, Ian Abreu, and Ryan Pereira, the two city councilors that actually live in that area. And we did a walkabout down there, and what happened was we were actually told, and one of the DEP person, he laughed at the fact that they thought it was rotting seaweed. I mean, come on, you know what I mean? So, but then he asked a question that was very telling to both the councilors and the representative, that did we see any increase in smell in a specific time? I think it was June, later June to July, because the city where they hauled this waste in Rhode Island, that the company that they brought it to was refusing the city's waste for several weeks.
We're broadcasting live from the Route 18 Honeydew Donuts in the South End of New Bedford, Conway Street. Come on down. They got sandwiches, coffee, great Red Bull drinks. We'll be broadcasting here till noontime. Barry, yeah, we got some calls holding that want to speak with us. Let's go to the phone calls.
Good
morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Hey, hi, Barry. Hi, Sean. Chris. Listen.
Hello.
I'm a lifelong resident of the South End, and going back over 30 years, there was a meeting on the final 1991 EPA environmental report regarding the building of the new sewage treatment plant that went into operation on August 22nd, 1996. And it stated that within 10 years, updates would be needed to maintain the operation of the plant, keep it current, and storage systems should be built to contain sewage overflows to protect our areas, waters, beaches, and the quality of life of residents. 30 years later, we're back at square one. And I appreciate what Barry and a bunch of us are doing, that are speaking up, that this has to be addressed. We've gone through... many administrations and the current mayor and state delegations that have largely ignored, the complaints and concerns and have not protected the citizens of New Bedford, especially the residents of Ward 6. So once again, I'd like to thank Barry and, for coming in and speaking about this morning. But this is a major issue, and I feel for all the people that are getting sick. And whatever I can do to help out, I'm always here. I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you, my friend. Barry, continue.
So
we have Barry Sylvia, by the way, here, who attended the public meeting. It was mandatory, right?
Yes. It was mandated that they hold this public hearing or public input in order for them to go forward to probably, my guess is, avoid any fines that may be imposed to the city for being out of compliance, as Jeff said, for over 30 years. And they have to update this plan. So we attended the meeting, and it basically was death by PowerPoint. And I mean, we've all been in sales and done PowerPoint presentations, and you try to limit it to just before people fall asleep, unless you want to put them to sleep. So one of the first questions that was asked was, there was a slide that said for the ratepayers. And this is the second point that I want to make, that we want everyone to, this is a big takeaway. So they had a slide that said that a portion of the portion that's going to be paid by the ratepayers was 2% of the New Bedford average income. And in the listening audience, so I studied statistics, and I asked what was the question in pertaining to the linear equation, 2% of what? Is it the mean, the average, the medium income? And they, if you can believe this, Chris, they didn't know their own slide.
The person doing the presentation.
The person doing the presentation. And
which
Sean,
was who?
Sean could speak to that. Who was doing that presentation?
On the mic.
That was Craig, Mr. Craig from CDW. He is the consultant on the project that is overseeing all the work that's being done in the city of New Bedford. So when Barry asked that question, he looked like deer in the headlights, and he couldn't really, he kind of skirted around it, but Barry knew what he was talking about, and he couldn't answer the question. And then when Barry pressed it even more, he said, well, why don't you take a guess? They all started laughing. They all started laughing, so that was the end.
So the fact that they needed was, how much is the median income for the people of the city of New Bedford, correct?
Two parts. It's two parts of a linear equation, and I study math. Right. I mean, how do you do a presentation and not know that every ratepayer, right, and here's the number for you, and it's not a digestible number, but every ratepayer from Acushnet, from Dartmouth, it's $1,000 a year.
Right.
In addition to what we're currently paying. And that's in order. They had to get that out so that way they can continue to make these mandated meetings. And, I mean, that's the second takeaway. And everybody should know this. And then the third takeaway, before the last that I want to talk about, every other slide seems to say public health, public health, public health. We're out of compliance. And as Jeff said, you know, we have these outlets, and Sean can talk a little bit to that, or anybody other callers can say. But I think our most powerful caller are going to be the ladies who have to keep these homes, and nobody wants a smelly home, especially not a woman who has to take care of it. But we want to try to provide contacts for residents to air their concerns about their own experiences with these odors. And when I asked Justin Chica, who I don't think is any longer with the city of New Bedford, I think he took a job in Norton, but I asked Justin about these chemicals that get airborne. They're known as a forever chemical, and that is a chemical that the NIH, National Institute for Health, has determined it does not break down, and it's the key component for cancer clusters. And when I asked Justin Chica, who was in charge for the city, if the Board of Health, there was two Board of Health members there that I had requested to be there prior to in an email. The director couldn't be there. She was on a junket. So she sent two people from her department. And I said to the audience and to the Board of Health people, I said, you know, we tried to explain that these forever chemicals get in our house. They're airborne. They get locked in our sheets, our pillowcases, our couches.
What was the response?
And their response was, he interrupted me and said that Fall River chemicals have nothing to do with anything they're talking about. And I said, again, Justin, forever chemicals.
Not Fall River chemicals.
No. I mean, it's a rock star, right?
Right, right. It's a joke.
It's a joke. But he was dead up serious, Chris. And
all right, we're going to go back to those. We got people on hold. By the way, we're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts here on Route 18 Conway Street in the great city of New Bedford, one of Walter Moniz's stores. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello. We can hear you, yes.
Hi, I'm a new resident of the South End. I purchased a home there about a year and a half ago. I'm a proud first-time home buyer, and I moved from New York City. I fell in love with New Bedford and its rich history, and I bought this great little house in the South End simply because I just fell in love with that area and watching the fishing boats going in and out. You know, I was super excited until I started smelling these horrible foul smells inside my home. And at first I thought it was some sort of stench coming from inside the house. Come to find out, no, it's the air outside coming inside the house. Had I known about this issue, I can honestly say I never would have purchased my first home in this neighborhood or in New Bedford had I known. And, you know, as someone that takes a lot of pride in my home, my first home, I'm an architectural designer. You know, I put my own blood, sweat, and tears into this house, and I'm embarrassed to have anybody to my house. I haven't had anybody in my house, you know, to celebrate this giant achievement of buying a home finally. You know, I feel like I have to keep my windows closed. I'm locked inside my house. I don't want to even...
Well, you do. You do have to keep your windows closed. I've been down there. I know what you're smelling. I've been there. It's horrendous.
Yeah, and as, you know, like I said, I moved from New York City, and I used to live near one of the largest waste treatment centers probably in this country. And let me tell you, never once did I ever smell anything remotely close to what we have going down in the South End.
Thank you for the call. I'm sorry for all your situation there. We have Ian Abreu with us here, of course, a longtime city councilor in the city of New Bedford, lives down the South End. Good morning, Councilor Abreu. You sent a letter to that meeting because you did have a scheduling conflict. I mean, there were city council meetings. You guys, as councils, have to sometimes be in three places at once. We understand that. Talk about the sewage treatment plan, Ian, your thoughts on it.
Well, again, thanks, Chris, for having me on, and I appreciate folks like Barry and Sean and many others from the private sector stepping up, because I want to empower our constituents and our residents, and I want them to feel as though this is their city, and they need to step up and take some leadership, and they have. So I appreciate Barry and Sean for doing what they're doing. You're absolutely right. We were sometimes in this business, you know, Chris, you've been in politics. You have to be an octopus. You've got to be everywhere. Unfortunately, that night, as we had the meeting at the sewage treatment plant, we had back-to-back-to-back committee meetings, very important stuff. So I couldn't be there, sent in the letter. But I think as I told you last week when I called in, I was getting the play-by-play, blow-by-blow the whole night between Barry, Sean, my mother, Pat, letting me know what's going on or what's not going on.
Right. So what can the city council do about it?
Well, we can continue to work with our state and federal partners to try to find, and of course, engaging the private sector folks to make sure that Barry's showing me notes while I'm trying to speak. Come on, Barry, you don't do that. You threw me a curveball. Come on, man. Yeah, we're going to take some more calls. This coming from the guy who was just pontificating for 25 minutes. I love you, Barry. No, but in all seriousness, we have a big problem in the South End of New Bedford. There's no councilor or even elected official that lives in the southernmost point of the city than me. I live on Ricketson. I live a stone's throw from the poor farm, from that fort, even the creamery that I'm involved with down there. We get those smells and odors all the time. Sure. It's a detractor for business. It's a detractor for tourism and visitors. Right. Quick anecdotal story. I think I may have told you.
No, but just what, is there a solution? You're an elected official.
The solution, yeah. So the solution is that we need more funding to abate the CSO issue, to talk about updating those scrubbers,
right,
cleaning out that and the tank, exactly. All these things. Sean's chiming in. Absolutely correct. The problem is the state's broke.
And where's the money from the Fed going to come? Is the White House is likely to send us money? Probably not.
No.
The budget surplus. Well, that's a Mayor Mitchell question. I agree. We have over $13 million in a surplus now. So there are things that we can do and there are things that we can advocate for. But there are people who, Barry's right, there are people who have become ill in the South End of New Bedford. I'm concerned about that. I was in the South End, obviously, yesterday going into my home. And I texted the group. I texted these guys. I said, the stink was so bad in the South End, it actually burned my eyes and gave me a headache. Honest to God's truth. It's terrible. We have to do a better job for our residents.
508-996-05, so I can get on the air. We're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts on Route 18 Conway Street, actually in the South End of New Bedford. You're welcome to come by. We got great food here. I don't smell anything bad here at all. I smell is really good food and great drinks. Stop on by. Let's go back to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Chris. Hi, Chris. This is Rick Trapillo. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas, Rick Trapillo.
I was at that meeting with Barry. Hey, Barry, how are you, sir? And hi, Ian.
Actually, it's actually Ian. Barry doesn't know you. Barry, Rick Trapillo said hi to you.
Hi, Rick. Rick, what did you see? What did you hear at the meeting?
I concur with Barry and Ian. The meeting was done out of a mandate, not out of a desire to listen to the residents. And Barry and the people at the meeting really brought out three issues. The odor, which is oppressive. The discharge into the bay, which is destroying our fishing, shell fishing, etc. There was no dynamic plan, Chris, from the people presenting to saying, hey, we hear you. We are going to work for a solution. We're not even thinking about looking for federal funding. We're not looking for a big solution to solve the problem. So it's really disappointing. But what's really pleasing now is to have people like Ian Abreu on the phone, Barry on the phone, all of the people that are calling in, that I think this issue, Chris, finally, with your support, is going to get some attention and hopefully a resolution. Because it's destroying the bay, it's impacting people's health in the South End of New Bedford dramatically, and it needs leadership. It needs people like Ian Abreu to step up like he is this morning to talk about this. So, Chris, thank you, and thank you, Ian, for what you're doing.
Thanks, Rick Trapillo. So, Ian, what do you do next, or what do you do with your colleagues? I mean, no one city council can do much. You can send letters. But what are some of the potential solutions? I know you talk about the federal money and stuff, but what can be happening locally?
Well, we have to continue to do what we were doing, and we started that great work, and thanks to Barry and Sean, working with Representative Cabral, Senator Montigny, who called me actually after I was on the air with you last week to say, I'm here, the state senate's here for you, whatever you need, you let me know. So work with DEP.
You need money.
We need money. Well, that's incumbent upon our state delegation to try to find it for us.
Well, Do you have a dollar figure you need from them?
Barry, I don't believe we do yet, right?
They
go ahead, hold on.
I'm sorry. They only told us what the ratepayers' portion was going to be, and then I believe they're trying to back that into another equation of how they would apply for federal funding, and then they would go at the appropriate projects, infrastructure projects that Councilor Abreu and the City Council haven't even been included on. They weren't informed at all of this meeting, and we're talking about a major purchase of infrastructure. And how do you leave City Council? How do you leave Tony Cabral? How do you leave Mark Montini out of that equation? And especially where it's a huge fix and it's a heavy lift. How do you get people to be able to report? I mean, it's difficult enough to say five people have died on my street. Recently, last fall, we had a young 50-year-old woman, at very, very active in the gym all the time. We talking to her, she was told us that she had developed cancer, and six weeks later, she's dead. Where do we report this to? Somebody's got to step up, and somebody's got to be responsible and take care of the public health concerns. That's the number one. When you take office, that's your biggest concern, public health.
Ian, you're the one in politics, in the government. Have you heard from Elizabeth Warren or Ed Markey on this issue?
Absolutely not. I have not a word, not a peep. And we filed motions. We've had hearings. We've sent off letters on behalf of our clerk, Dennis Farias. You know, he sends off these motions and these letters. I don't know where the hell they go. When they go up, it's just...
So Ed Markey has never responded to anything from any correspondence, as far as you know.
To my knowledge, no.
From your office or the city council. Barry, what about that? Has anybody gotten back to you and the other property owners on the South End from the federal government?
I would not the federal government, and I know that Tony Cabral, he's done a yeoman's job organizing the DEP tour and the walkabout that we had there. And he's also now getting information from the Department of Public Health. So that's...
Who's this?
This is Representative Tony Cabral.
Okay.
In his office, and they just... Here's something else. So... Where's the tape? Where's the copy of this meeting so these people can share of information from the meeting, what was heard? And it's part of public, I guess, open meeting law. But in addition to that, Chris, I think the big takeaway is we need to have, whether it's through the counselor's office or Tony Cabral's office, people need to call in because cancer is not something everybody wants to talk about.
But, I mean, Tony Cabral's been there for the entire existence of the treatment plan, hasn't he?
Well, in defense of Tony, so Tony was the one that, with Brittany Dye, when there was a kidney cancer, that there was a cluster behind Brittany Dye, Tony had all the hearings with Rosemary Tierney, and then they actually moved the exhaust from Brittany Dye and the scrubbers to face the other way. So things can be improved.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, you know, cause and effect. What's happening to us? We're sick.
Right. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. We're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts here on Route 18, Conway Street in the South End of New Bedford. Come on by. Great, great drinks, great food, great donuts. Come on.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Good morning. We're broadcasting. It's a rainy day, but it's warm outside. We're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts in the South End of New Bedford, right off Route 18, Conway Street. Come on by. We have Barry Sovia, Ian Abreu here with us, Sean Mulvey. We're broadcasting. We're talking about the sewerage treatment plan. Let's go right back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Okay, how you doing? Hey, I was wondering. They're talking about all the water, the smell, pollution. Do you remember maybe 5 years back? I'm not sure. Remember they put like a slip and slide amusement park in the water?
They did, yes.
So that company, they folded, but I don't know if you remember it, but look at the money they charge the kids from the city.
Yep.
But I'm just saying... If everything's so polluted or not, how come the city allowed that company to make money off of the water when that company didn't own that water? You know what the warming shack was?
Yes, I remember the warming shack.
A bathing house. Remember, just a little bathing house. So I'm just wondering why the city allowed that company to do that.
That's a good question. Thank you. All right, we now have we're joined by City Councilor Ryan Pereira, I believe.
Chris?
Good morning. Yes, sir. You're on the air, Ryan.
How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing? Good.
I'm very good, very good. So I wanted to thank Barry and Sean and Ian down there for bringing this item up, and I wanted to call in and just give some of my thoughts on a couple of different issues, and I appreciate you letting me do that this morning, Chris.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Sure. So, you know, in regards to the CSOs, which is the combined sewer outflows, which is a big concern of mine, as when during heavy rainstorms our sewer lines get so heavily utilized because of all that storm water and rainwater that they discharge sewage and rainwater into our bay. On Clark's Cove and into the outer harbor on the east side. And what we can do to that is the council has been continue as we have been, but supporting infrastructure projects to eliminate the CSOs. And that's a lot of money, and that speaks to that 2% of the annual income of the average income of New Bedford, as Barry was talking about, which folks that down at DPI have stated to us before. It's crazy to me to find out that the presenter didn't know much about that. But with that being said, to give credit to our state delegation, all of this is bonded through the state's revolving fund. And through that revolving fund, they actually forgive all of the interest. And once they've gone around to all the municipalities and forgive all that interest, whatever's left over, they go around and start forgiving principal. So it's actually a decent program for the city to be a part of so that we can get some help from the state government. Now, I'd like to see our federal government help out as well, because these mandates to end these CSOs is coming from the federal government, not the state government. Now, the state's helping us out because our delegation knows how important this is. But the federal government needs to start pulling their share when it comes to this as their mandate in the closure of the CSOs, which I think is good. We should close these CSOs, eliminate them.
Ryan, what about the smell down there that Barry's complaining about? I mean, I've been down to the Barry's house. I've smelled it. You can't sit on the deck on some days. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that, Ryan?
Yeah, so in multiple hearings that we've had on this in the city council chambers that was spoken to earlier, DPI has come in and basically stated, look, none of our monitors are saying it's us. Now, I'm not saying it's not us, but nothing's telling us it is us. So what we did from there is, through the work of the body, is we've got Viola, which is the operator of the sewage treatment plant, to install odor monitors throughout the South End. And there's about five or six of them placed throughout the South End. And the next step now is to get those results published online, because once they're giving us these, they're monitoring these odors, and they're different than the air quality monitors that we've installed. These are installed to monitor scents and odors. That result needs to be posted online for the public to see. And that's the next steps, working on through the councils to get the odor quality monitors up, so that not only can the public identify and see when to ensure what they're smelling is picking up on these monitors, because the best monitors are the residents, right? They're living there, they're smelling it every day, but making sure so that when we build the data, when we have data to look at and try and identify patterns and issues that we need to resolve to make the quality of life better, that the odor monitors are picking up what the residents are smelling.
Ryan, I appreciate you calling in, my friend. Shoot me a text. We'll book an appointment for you. You're going to be the next city council president, and so we want to get you in here, proper. You could always swing by Honeydew Donuts here in the South End, right down the street from where you are. Thank you so much, Ryan Pereira, future city council president. Let's go back to the phone. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
I'm glad that crying Ryan called in. I was actually going to call in and say he should waddle his butt down there and have a discussion with you guys, because basically Barry's giving him an education on what a counselor should be doing. If it wasn't for Barry talking about it, I'm pretty sure this kid wouldn't be saying a word about this, and it'd be going to the wayside with basically everything else he touches. To some committee, it goes there to die or whatever. But I'm glad that Barry's keeping his feet to the fire and making sure that he follows through, because it's important. There's a lot of people that invested their entire lives to a piece of property down in the South End, my family included. And it's a shame to allow things like this to just fall through the cracks. And he sounds, Ryan, he can state a good game. He's good with the words and everything. A lot slicker than I am. But the reality is, when he had an opportunity to vote for $2 million for some upgrades, he voted against it. So I hope he's changed his tune in that aspect and stops playing games behind the scenes and horse trading for whatever position. But I appreciate what you guys are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Remember, we're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts on Route 18, Conway Street. Come on down. Great drinks, great food. I'm going to take a bite of a sausage sandwich here in a moment. Welcome back. We're live broadcasting here from Honeydew Donuts. Great store right on Route 18 Conway Street. We'll be here till noontime. Barry, where do people go from here, Barry Sylvia?
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to have a conduit of where people can call with, and this is kind of personal information for people that are getting sick or just don't like the odor or smell. So we would suggest that you would call Ryan Pereira and or Ian Abreu and or Tony Cabral at this point. And I'm pleased to hear Mark Montigny is getting involved because we are expecting some numbers from the Department of Public Health. They have an interim director there, Hannah. So we anticipate getting numbers of death certificates, and we anticipate getting other numbers of cancer clusters and how we can take care of ourselves. And hopefully what's disappointing is that the New Bedford Board of Health has not engaged. They don't have a public number. They haven't advertised. They had this big meeting, and nothing came out of it except go away, nothing to see here, Chris.
Barry Sylvia, I appreciate everything you do for the whole region. I think we have someone on hold. Let's see if we can take that call. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I sit here and you know, I absolutely sympathize with the people that live near the plant for all that they've gone through. But you know, my frustration level grows because they go back to the same people that haven't done anything for them for years.
Yes,
they have super majority on Beacon Hill. They've had Democratic control in Washington for years and years, and yet nothing gets done over with these problems. But they keep going back and voting for the same people and putting them in power. You know, Barry did a good job with Protect and Deflect on Tony Cabral when he talked about the Teledyne. You know, he turned the stack in the other direction. But that wasn't the issue. The issue is the wastewater treatment plant. This has been going on. I remember listening to Ralph Salnia and John and Natalie Arnett talk about this. But supermajority. And, you know, Ian Abreu said the state has